1 to 10. The parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Try to remember that if you can. Right. Oh, sorry. That was bad timing, wasn't it? There we go. We're going to think a little bit about those two stories that we had. And they talk about joy in heaven. Let's have the next slide, because you know I love a quiz. You know, we're going to say, oh, there was a reaction there, wasn't there? Ooh. Right. Who are these people on the left? Prince Harry? Britney Spears here. Who's in the middle? No. Barbara Streisand on the nose. Yes. I think she might have had some work. Let's not have a little.
That's just an old photo.
Yeah. Anyway, now, these three people have something in common. Something in common. Prince Harry is probably the biggest clue, actually. If you think about stories, books, they had, sorry? Autobiography, thank you. Jess, well done. And you've probably never even heard of Barbra Streisand, have you? No. So, these three people had three of the best-selling autobiographies or memoirs of 2023. Prince Harry, of course, he had a ghostwriter, didn't he? So, Spare, Barbra Streisand, My Name is Barbara, and Britney Spears, The Woman in Me. They had top-selling autobiographies. And autobiographies, they tell us about the person. But it's interesting that Barbra Streisand said, "My name is Barbara," because our names and who we are important. Our stories are important. That's why we've heard from Julie. And our next verse is one that Julie asked me to share, because this is a verse that particularly is meaningful to Julie. Isaiah 43, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." And so whether we knew the names of Harry, Barbara, and Brittany or not, their names are known by God. God knows our names. He knows our story, and He is interested in our story. Now, reading autobiographies, some of you may enjoy reading biographies. They're a great way to get to know the person, get behind what the front looks like, get behind what Instagram might say. And it might be a good way to get to know somebody who you haven't had the chance to meet, somebody you admire. I remember reading the autobiography of Jonathan Edwards, the world record-holding triple jumper, not the 18th century evangelist. And it gave a great insight into somebody that I will probably never meet. It made me understand the focus that is needed to become an elite athlete. I mean, there was a whole chapter on trying to jump 1 centimetre, that's about that. A whole chapter on trying to jump 1 centimetre further. There are reasons why I'm not an elite athlete. And autobiographies may not be your thing. Perhaps you prefer pure fiction or a dramatised account of a historical story. But everybody loves a story of one kind or another, generally. And today, we have been privileged to hear something of Julie's story and to witness an important part of her continuing story. Because after today, Julie has a new chapter in her autobiography. It's the chapter entitled The Day I Got Baptized. Today is an important step in her spiritual journey. It is a continuation. It's not the beginning of her spiritual journey, and it's certainly not the end of her spiritual journey. It is a continuation. As I've already said, baptism is like a wedding. A wedding is not the start of a couple's relationship, nor is it the end, but a continuation and a deepening step on the story of their life together. But today we aren't just detached, casual observers. This is a day that we can all be involved in. This is a day that is all part of our story. Our presence here together is significant in one way or another. For all of us, this is part of our spiritual journey, being here today. An opportunity to take one more step and write one more paragraph or chapter in our own autobiography. Another opportunity to find out, what part is God playing in my life story? Do I want him part of my life story? And we have naturally read from the Bible, which is God's book about God. It teaches us about who he is and what his characteristics are. And in the Bible, we read many types of genre, types of writing, poetry, prayers, prophecy, law, and stories. Stories of Jesus interacting with people. Stories of God interacting with people. We have the historical accounts of all sorts of events and situations. And Jesus told illustrative stories. We call them parables. And these teach us further truths about God. And today, Sarah has read to us two of those parables. Those two actually form part of a trio. But in the interest of time, we only read the first two. We read about the lost sheep, who became separated from the flock, and the dedication of the shepherd who goes in search of it, not giving up until it is found. The second was about a woman who lost a coin, a tenth of her wealth, a tenth. No wonder she sets about with such zeal and determination to find it. And the final parable, which we haven't read, as I said, just in the interest of time, is about a son. A son who decides he can't wait for his dad to die because he wants his inheritance now. And his dad lovingly lets him have the money. But the son takes it, squanders it, and after it is gone, the son is gripped with poverty, comes to his senses, and then eventually returns home. You may have heard this story before, being referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. In each of these stories, there is rejoicing. There is rejoicing when the sheep, the coin, or the son that was lost is found. Just when we rejoice and breathe a huge sigh of relief when we find something we've lost, when we find something we value and want it back, and what was lost is found, we rejoice. And these parables tell us that the God of the Bible is a God who rejoices, is a God who celebrates when the lost is found. Recovery of the lost is a moment of pure joy in heaven. And these parables tell us that our joy is triggered. The lost is found when a sinner repents of their sin. And that is what's so intrinsic to what baptism symbolizes. These three stories together weave a great picture about God. They weave together and remind us that God, who in those words of that prophecy which Julie asked to be read, is the God who created you, the God who formed you. He is the one who redeems and calls you by name. So in these stories then, God is the shepherd who goes out searching unrelentingly for the lost sheep. We see this in the life of Jesus. He was sent by God out of God's love for humanity. And Jesus unrelentingly did what needed to be done to bring back the lost. He went to the cross of crucifixion. This was the cost of searching for the lost sheep. That was the cost of providing a way for the sheep to be brought back into the fold. And God is the woman searching for the lost coin. Quite obviously, the coin can do nothing to increase its own chances of being found. It cannot decide, I will go and sit right in the middle of the floor. Only the woman can do the searching for the lost coin. She lights the lamp and sweeps here and there until she finds it. And without the sacrifice of Jesus, we can do nothing to bring about our own reconciliation with God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to go out searching for the lost, to prompt hearts to turn to God. And God is the Father who doesn't give up hope and waits and longs for the return of the prodigal son. If you are familiar with the story, you will already know that the son has been selfish, rebellious, and deeply disrespectful to his father. Yet when the son comes to his senses and returns home, the father rejoices upon his return. The son is not despised. He is loved and welcomed, and the father throws a party to celebrate. No matter how undeserving that son is, the father's love was undiminished. And elsewhere in the Bible, we are told that there is nothing in all creation, not even life or death, that can separate us from God's love. Not our past mistakes, our disinterestedness, our rebellion, our selfishness. No, we are still loved by God. So these stories have told us about a God who rejoices in the lost when they are found. The question is, are we willing to admit that they also tell us about us? Are we willing to admit that we are the lost, that we need to come home to God, that we need to be found by him? This is what it means to become a Christian. The decision that Julie made some time ago. Let's just be polite and say some time ago. The decision that many in the room I know have already made. And it's a decision that anybody is invited to make. Because in these stories, humanity, that's you and me, we are the sheep that has wandered off and is pursued by the shepherd. We are the lost coin who cannot do anything itself to be found. And we are the son who has rebelled, who said to his father, I'm off, but who is loved by the father anyway. I started off by talking a little bit about joy in heaven and God's unremitting love does not preclude the fact that there are things that we can do over with that God rejoices. He loves us anyway, but there are things that we do that bring him pleasure. And the thing that brings pleasure to God is the lost are found, and that is linked to repentance. In repentance, we turn away from the past. We admit that we have gone our own way, that we have wandered off. And in repentance, we receive the forgiveness of God. And that is when we are reconciled to him, when we enter into relationship with a God who delights in reconciliation with the people he has made. It is he who redeems, he who created us. He delights when somebody goes through the waters of baptism, and he delights when we deepen our relationship with him. So if you were writing your autobiography, what would today's chapter heading be? Would it be the day I realised I was lost and decided it might be worth thinking about Christianity after all, at least to find out a little bit more about it? Would it be the day I decided that actually I've heard enough? I'm going to place my trust and my faith in Jesus. Is it the day that I decided to get baptized? I've been putting it off. I've already made the decision to be a Christian, so what's holding me back? Is it the day I decided I didn't want to be in the shallow end anymore? I wanted to deepen my relationship with Jesus. Whatever today means to you, whatever paragraph or chapter you are writing in your autobiography, I urge you, make it one that brings joy in heaven. And if you would like to explore any of those questions, please do come and see me. I can give you literature to take, or we can arrange a time to talk, or any of the deacons or members of the church. It would be an absolute joy to us to talk with you and pray further. Let's pray now. Loving God, we thank you that though we are lost, and that we could not do anything, we could not know anything on our own, in our own strength, or in our own righteousness to make us right before you, we thank you that you sent your Son whilst we were still sinners, that he unrelentingly went to the cross to do that which we could not do for ourselves, to do what needed to be done, to provide a way for us to be reconciled to you. And Lord, where you are prompting our hearts, where you are prompting our hearts to explore what it means to have faith in you, to deepen our relationship with you, to think about becoming a Christian or being baptized. Lord, help us to be bold and courageous and to know that you give us the grace for each thing that you ask us to do. And Lord, help us to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.